141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Please gamble responsibly.
Good evening and welcome to Wednesday night's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. It might only be the middle of August, but already Celtic are taking on arguably one of the biggest games of their season. Brendan Rodgers' side looking to take control against Astana with a place in the Champions League group stages at stake. Lee Griffiths is expected to lead the line for the Hoops, and we'll have an exclusive interview with the striker who's looking to silence opposition fans with his goals rather than what he calls stupid actions, which led to his UEFA ban. And Michael O'Halloran says his recent goals are as a result of getting a chance to show what he can do, unlike at Rangers. Yes, plenty coming up on a Wednesday night. Mark Guidi and Chris Miller joining me, Gordon Duncan. Chris, the first time we've had the pleasure of your company this season. Are you well?
Yeah, very well. Good to be back on board and giving my views. I'm looking forward to tonight.
And Mark, over the summer break there, I was away at a wedding, and the table names are all named after St Johnston legends.
Oh,
and can you believe my surprise when there was actually a Chris Miller? There was a Chris Miller table at this wedding I was at.
Was that the fella for the 50s? Or
I was going to say, I had a wee joke with him on Twitter that was the treatment table, but I think the quicker we move on for that, the better. Like we say, massive night for Celtic tonight, so why not get in touch? All your pre-match thoughts, 0141 951 1025, or on Twitter at ClydeSSB. Let us know what you think the score's going to be, who you think Brendan Rodgers should pick, or anything else that goes along with it. In the meantime, let's cross live to Celtic Park. Alison Conroy will bring us right up to speed on all things pre-match.
Yeah, Brendan Rodgers feeling confident about Celtic's chances of beating Astana for the second season running and reaching the Champions League group stages. He doesn't want his players tonight thinking about what's at stake. Instead, he wants them fully focused on tonight's first leg in just that 90 minutes. Astana boss Stanimir Stoilov says discipline is a concern for his side ahead of this game. Of course, they had those two players sent off an injury time in the qualifier here last season, and he wants to avoid any repeat of that tonight as they look to reach the Champions League group stages. Lee Griffiths, as you say, is fit to lead the line as Celtic look to score tonight and avoid conceding that away goal. Kick-off here, 7:45, the teams as always, as soon as I get them.
Yeah, we'll get back to Alison very shortly when she has team news. Mark, this is nothing new, we go through this almost every year, but again we find ourselves in that unique situation in this country where, like I said at the top of the show, arguably Celtic's biggest game of the season comes in mid-August.
Yeah, it does, and they've handled it well, or they did handle it well last summer. Previous two summers, not so, under Ronnie Dyla. But they got into this one tonight, I would say with a wee bit of trepidation, because the position with the central defence, and you know, not having Dembele and having Griffiths, and is he 100% fit, or you know, really. So I think in there, all these ties are very tricky at this time of the year, Gordon. You're facing quality opposition. So I think that Celtic could be getting into it just feeling a wee bit more confident. But still, I think any result tonight to nil, you know, I think if you do offer Celtic a 1-0 victory tonight, I think pretty much everybody would take that, you know, because keeping a clean sheet, winning the game, going over there gives you something to build on. I think would be a terrific result for them.
Well, let's hear from the manager, because Brendan Rodgers believes his nerveless Celtic players are ready to show Astana just how much they've matured since last year's Champions League meeting. Remember, they did knock the Kazakh side out in a qualifier last season. That was on their way to reaching the group stages. Now they face each other again in the final playoff tie, and Rodgers says there's no point in overthinking what's at stake.
It never always works out perfect, but yeah, if you have an ideal scenario in a game like this here, it's to get the victory, get as many goals as you can whilst keeping a clean sheet. But I think we showed in the last round against a very good side that okay, the performance wasn't perfect at home, but we can still go away from home and dominate the game and the play and end up with a victory. So, but of course, getting into this final stage now of this qualification phase, the home leg, the support, which is incredible for us, will give us a huge lift, and like we say, we want to try and exploit that opportunity in this first game. If you think too much of the consequence of it, then of course you may not sleep and you may not eat. But listen, you have to approach it as another game. You know, there's a huge consequence on the game, but the only way you can get through it is by staying focused. You know, stay really very much in the present and what you have to do. And the players now, over what they've created and built over the course of the last season, is this this ability to handle pressure and emotionally to deal with the big games. And I think we've seen that through now. I can remember at this stage last season, I felt in even the first game and in the second game against Astana, there was all this emotion around it. I think it's a huge credit to the players, how they've then come through that, you know, these first couple of games. And in particular, the last game away at Rosenborg, when there was a lot of pressure and a lot of focus on them. They came through it, they stayed with their game, stayed calm, stayed composed, but whilst being aggressive in how they defend it. So, and it's the same. It's the same concept. You have to, you understand what's in it, you understand where it is you want to be, but there's no one wants to be in it more than us. You know, but for that, there's a process in which to play, and obviously, and that's something that we concentrate on.
Celtic fans, there were no late additions to the squad last night. Are you happy enough to go with the squad you've got, or are the pre-match nerves setting in? 01419511025. Chris Miller, let me ask you then, as a player, when Brendan Rodgers talks about not thinking about what's at stake, not thinking about the consequences, how easy or otherwise is that when you go into a game to block out everything else?
I think when the build up to the game, there will be pressure. The players are always thinking about reaching those group stages, and that's what Celtic are judged on season in, season out, is progressing to those group stages. But I think once the players cross the line and the whistle goes, they just go and they play their game. I think you saw in results and the cup games with Celtic, no matter what team they put on, they all play the same way. The system that Brendan Rodgers plays under, that every player is well drilled and knows what they're all about. You know, and I think the maturity from the team that played Astana last year, it can be seen how much it's grown. So I think they'll give confidence from that result last year, and obviously knowing it at home that they need to go and win the game to have the chance of progression, which I think they will do tonight.
Yeah, Mark, when you look back at those fixtures last season, it was a 1-1 draw in Kazakhstan. Celtic then won 2-1 in Glasgow, albeit with a last minute penalty from Moussa Dembele. But just how much better is the Celtic team now, having had that year under Brendan Rodgers?
It's night and day. Absolute night and day. Gordon, you look at the difference in the back four. I know it's makeshift tonight, but for example, Kieran Tierney, look at the difference in him. 12 months on, look at the difference even in the way Scott Brown was playing. We still weren't sure what Scott Brown were going to get. He went on to have probably his best season ever for the club last season, so he was at the early stages of that. You look at the improvement, albeit he didn't start the game, but look at a Stuart Armstrong, look at a James Forrest again, who's been reborn, look at Lee Griffiths, who's gone on to grow in stature and stuff like that. So you've added Scott Sinclair since then too. So there's loads of positives. However, at this stage, and I remember, I have to be honest, I don't remember much about the Astana titles here, but I remember at this stage last year, it was Beersheva. And I get the feeling if it was another 5 minutes in Israel in the second leg, Beersheva might have scored again. But I thought that Kolo Touré was an absolute rock that night and held it together. But it's a really nervy 90 minutes. And if I'm at the risk of repeating myself, anything to nil tonight is all right. And 1-0 might not please a lot of Celtic fans, but trust me, 1-0 would be a terrific result.
Yeah, when you look at the Rosenborg game, for instance, Chris, Celtic plenty of the ball, couldn't find that breakthrough. And then you have to go over there and try and pull something out of the bag. I'm wondering what type of occasion it's going to be, because Mark mentions the nerves. Every Celtic fan in there desperate more than ever for the team to win. And I suppose it's a bit of a cliche, but the early goal, it really, if you can get one, it really puts minds at ease, doesn't it?
I think one of the big things as well, having that recognised striker, you know, Griffiths being fit and available is a major boost. I think you saw a difference that he made when he came on the game. He just gave him a focal point, somebody that's going to get in behind. And not only that, his quality, I think, under Brendan Rodgers, his all-round game has been taken to another level. And even when Dembele has been fit, there's been cases that people saying when Griffiths deserves to go and actually start ahead of him. So I think having him available tonight will be a massive factor in the game. And these players are all used to dealing with pressure. Once the whistle goes, as I said before, I think you'll see a performance which Celtic always give. Try to keep the ball, try to dominate possession. But the key difference for me is with having that focal point, it'll make them much bigger goal threat.
Well, I did say I wanted to find out about the pre-match nerves on the phone lines. Alec, how are you feeling? Is it at that stage yet? Fingernails starting to get bitten?
How we doing? Obviously, massive butterflies, massive. I'm further looking forward to it. But like you say, you know, this is the biggest game at Parkhead this season for Celtic. Whatever happens for the rest of the season, this will be their biggest game. I'm confident, and it's because I think Celtic's has got a maturity now under Brendan in Europe. Obviously, it's not just been through Brendan, but it's been other managers that's installed that through, because obviously Brendan took care the biggest majority of Ron Dyler's squad. But they seem to have a maturity. And obviously, when they do play with a striker, you see it when we've played a couple of games without a striker. It totally changes the whole dynamics of the game. But when you've got a player like Griffiths, obviously it's unfortunate regards to Musa, but when you've got Griffiths, you know, there's goals there. And if we can get 1-0 would be great, but if you could get 2-0, and I'm not being greedy, I'm not trying, but if we could get 2-0, it would be fantastic. But any zero against us would be great.
Yeah, you're right, Ali. You know, keeping a clean sheet, I think's vitally important tonight. And as much as, you know, there's maybe a bit of concern because of the injury situation to the central defenders, and you know, the fact who's the fit one? Who's one that's there?
He's still trying to lose track of them all. Obviously, yeah.
Obviously, Beaton's going to be in there tonight along
Simonovic.
Yeah, Simonovic is, and for me, actually, I think Simonovic is the number one central defender at Celtic Park. So that in itself, right away, is a good start. But it will be a nervy one, Alec. But I think that the confidence in that Celtic team, and you know, having the backing of the best part of 60,000 supporters tonight, will help say drive Celtic on.
Alec, I'm wondering then if you go back to the Astana game last season, does the fact that they've got that maturity that you mentioned, does that mean you're less nervous now than you were then, or do these games always bring about their own tension? Because I mean, you heard Lee Griffiths yesterday describing them as make or break for the season. Is that the way you see it as a fan?
Oh no, the nerves never go away. I'm sitting here trying to keep my breathing under control. The nerves just never go away. That's part and parcel of the game that we love, you know what I mean? But no, I just feel as if even in the last game against Rosenborg, when we played away, you know, it's just a case of being patient. But obviously it's hard at Park Quayde, because a throw in, everything will be contested tonight. And you know, it's the games that you want. We've got the Scottish Premier League, that's fair enough, but see, when you move up to another level, if we do get through these two games, you're then in amongst the pot with Real Madrid, with the Barcelonas, everybody like that, and you know, it doesn't get any better than that.
Not to mention the £25 million as well, Alec.
Well, obviously,
you know,
the money is a major factor, because let's be honest, the prize money in Scotland is nothing. So the prize money goes towards the wages, because although Celtic haven't been paying millions of pounds out in players, they get players on, obviously, if it's a free, like a Bosman, but, and then it's the package that they get.
Yeah.
When we sign Nisham for, say, £4.5 million, that's probably a package that's up to near a seven with his wages. You know, all these factors have got to get built in.
Well, if Celtic can get into the Champions League every couple of years, then you know it makes it, and you know, and if they get in by this time next week, we'll know if they're in again. The second leg's on Tuesday night. You know, if they do get in, then that's another 25 odd million bank. Not to mention what that does to the value of the players. So you might see Dembele jumping up again. You might see Tierney jumping up again. You might, you know, somebody coming in for other players. So all of a sudden, their value goes up to of the squad. So, and domestically, you know, if teams think, you know, they see a wee bit of light where they can maybe nick in and get close to Celtic, all of a sudden, you know, teams are right up against it again, and it only increases the chances of domination on the domestic front.
Jordi Gaz has been in touch on Twitter. He says, really hope Beaton doesn't start tonight. If Ayer is fit, I'd start him and Yozo. I like Beaton, but he's too risky. Chris, you've got it certainly looks like Beaton will play, because he played there at the weekend, but you've got a situation where you've got a choice to make between a midfielder who's experienced having to play in an unfamiliar position, or you've got a defender who's actually a defender but he's inexperienced. Where's the balance here?
It's a tough decision. I didn't think, when Ayer played there in Europe, I didn't think he did too badly.
He got man of the match in the Celtic Park, you know, game.
And he was up against Bentner, who I thought looked one of their best players, and it was a good tussle the whole game. But I think with Celtic being at home and dominating the ball, I think that's what he'll think. He'll give Brendan Rodgers, give Beaton the nod, because with Celtic dominating the ball, with Beaton back there, then he'll be pushing forward, stepping in through the midfield as well at times. So I just think that he'll get the nod tonight. But for me, if I was the Astana manager, that's an area I would look where I could exploit, because we've got Tuzmasi and Cabana up there who have are in goal scoring form right now. You think yourself, that's an area that we can exploit with Peter not being a natural defender.
Well, William and Craig End is also on the line. How are you feeling ahead of the game, William?
I'm feeling quietly confident. Even last year, what I remember about Astana, I thought they were pretty decent, keeping the ball and very comfortable in the ball, but I didn't think they had a cutting edge. Last year, that's as much as I remember about them. I don't really remember much more about them. I probably more remember the Beresheva game, the 5-2 game. I'm hoping that they come out and play, and then there'll be spaces. I hope it's not the same sort of a game as Rosenborg. It was very frustrating that night, because Rosenborg sat in and parked the bus, basically. But I hope Astana come out, and they should have a wee bit more quality than Rosenborg. So I do expect them to come out and play, and hopefully it's a better game than the Rosenborg game.
I was just going to put your point there, William, to Chris. You would imagine it's going to be a similar challenge, with Celtic having a lot of the ball and therefore having to guard against counter-attacks.
I think if Astana came out and were gung-ho and naive and looked to go and really try and take the game to Celtic at home, then I think that they'd lose goals. I think that would suit Celtic down to a tee with their pace up front and in the wider areas. So I think you'll find Astana will come in and to a point sit off Celtic, allow them to have the ball along the back, and then if Celtic overcommit, look to counter them. You know, that I think that's just the way the game works in Europe. Found it myself at times. You're playing when we went away just there, we found that we had a lot of the ball and we were trying to play forward, then we just couldn't get done the counter all the time. That kind of cost us. Obviously I think Celtic are a better team than ourselves, but that's the kind of European game, that's the kind of style that these teams play, and I don't think that Astana will come out and look to play. I think if they went away with a 0-0 at Celtic Park, then they'd be absolutely buzzing with that. If they could nick a goal, that's what they'd be coming here to look for.
William, what's your score prediction then, before I have to move this one on?
I think Celtic could finish the game tonight. I think that could finish the tie. I think we could go 2-3-0. I look at Brendan Rodgers' side, and I definitely think they've improved for last year, and I don't know how much Astana's improved. They may have improved as well, so I could be underestimating them, but I do think that Celtic could score 2 or 3 tonight and finish the tie.
There we are. William and Craig End is a confident Celtic fan. What do you think? 0141 951 1025. Now listen to this. All next week on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, we've got your chance to win an Old Firm golden ticket courtesy of Ladbrokes. So that's one Celtic winner and one Rangers winner getting a pair of tickets to both home games and both away games between the sides this season. So it's a chance for you to win your season pass to every Ladbrokes Premiership Old Firm game. All you need to do, very simple, register online at clyde1.com. That's for your chance to win all next week. Plenty more coming up after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com, backing Scottish football all season long. Please gamble responsibly.
Wednesday night's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with me, Gordon Duncan, Mark Guidi and Chris Miller are here as well. A few fans getting in touch on Twitter at Clyde SSB, many of them wanting to see Anthony Ralston starting at right back for Celtic tonight, with Mikael Lustig moved into centre back. So team news just around 20 minutes or so away. We'll cross over live to Celtic Park and speak to Alison Conroy as soon as we can. But in the meantime, I want to talk about one of Chris Miller's teammates. We're going to hear from Michael O'Halloran, because he says he doesn't feel he got a chance to show what he could do at Rangers and is relishing being back in familiar surroundings at St Johnstone. The on-loan winger was a saved penalty away from a hat-trick against Motherwell at the weekend, and also got the winner against Kilmarnock the previous week, remember? And O'Halloran says it's good to be back.
I've not played a lot of football, and I've not really been given a chance when I was there, so, and this is a place where I feel they've gave me a chance and let me go and play my football and let me go and enjoy myself. So it was a no-brainer for me coming back here. Yeah, that was a huge part of me coming back here. Somewhere I've always feel right at home, and I feel welcome, and the gaffer's, I've said many times before, he's a huge part of me coming back here. He knows me as a player, and he knows me as a person, and I feel like he can get the best out of me.
Well, Chris Miller, you seem like the obvious place to start here. You're now back playing alongside Michael O'Halloran. What is it about him and St Johnstone that seems to be a good fit?
I think as you said there and alluded to with the gaffer Tommy, that Tommy gets the best of him. They've got a great relationship. He allows Michael to go and express himself during the games, and Michael's the type of guy that if he feels loved and he feels that the manager really backs him, then that's how you get the best out of him. And he's not put, as he says himself there, he's not had a lot of game time. He's been sitting basically a year just training, whether it be himself or with the kids. And you know, and I was talking to him on the way up to training about it, and it's been really hard for him, really tough for him mentally, but I think it's something that he's learned for. And I think he saw that as soon as he got his first goal, that must have been a massive relief for him. And the Kilmarnock game there, and he was only on half an hour, and then next played 90 minutes in the next game. And obviously at the weekend there, he's came on, got his two goals, played the 90 minutes. Could I get a hat-trick? And I think now he's just, you'll see he's going to get better and better. And for us, I think he's going to be a massive player this year.
Mark, Michael O'Halloran there saying he doesn't feel like he quite got the chance at Rangers. If you look at the numbers, I think it was 37 appearances, 20 of them from the start, 3 goals. So, I mean, you look at the goal scoring, for instance, he's already scored as many in a week this season than he did in his full time at Rangers. Did he get a chance or not?
Well, I don't think he did get a right chance, but you know, don't know what was going on behind the scenes. But Gordon, if you remember when he signed, when Rangers were interested in him, it was a bit of a saga, was rumbling on. I'd say that, and I'd watched St Johnstone many times, and you know, we had that debate with Hugh when he wrote St Johnstone off before the League Cup tie, that Ibrox and Michael's a big part of what was going on. So I remember saying, if Rangers were getting him for $400,000 or $500,000, for me he was the type of player that could have been on to become a £2 or £3 million player, you know, given the platform. So I was very, very surprised. He's a talented footballer, that it didn't work out from at Rangers, you know, given the fact that I think he was probably one of the best players in their squad. It's not to say it can't happen for him, that he can't go back and try and kick it all off again, but certainly for the player and for the club, it was the right move that was a parting of the ways there during the summer. So it gives him a chance to go on. He's gone back to a place that he knows well, a place that he loves, beside people that care for him at St Johnstone, and he's reaping the rewards from it. Now, for Rangers' point of view, if it comes back, then he might be given another chance. If not, he is only enhancing his value if Rangers want to move him on. So he's better to get that platform in SPFL at a higher level rather than rotting in the reserves or training his own or whatever it was that was going on in latterly.
Can be a number of reasons, of course. How much can we put down to the fact that at Rangers there's undeniably a bigger expectation, more pressure, everything else that goes along with it? How much of a factor do you think that was?
Well, that may well be a factor. Only the individual can answer that, Gordon, in terms of, you know, did he find, you know, that of playing in front of 45,000 to 50,000 every second week, a bit of a burden, being in the spotlight 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, could he handle that? Only Michael and other players can handle that. When you look at another couple of boys that have left Rangers recently, Joe Garner and Martin Wycorn, banging them in for Ipswich as well. So yeah, you know what, maybe it has. Derek Johnson always says that mentally, you know, it's not about the talent, sorry, it's not only about the talent, it's about what you've got upstairs and how you handle it too. But there's no doubt that is a factor. Yeah,
for me, it's for any player as well. I think if you're getting a run of games consistently, I'm not talking about one or two, if you're getting a run of games within a team up to 10 games, then that's really when you get, especially forward thinking players, that's when they've got to be judged on them. And I just feel that Mikey never got that at Rangers. And I'm his pal, right? So obviously I'm going to back him
up. That's fine, we accept that.
But what I'm saying is, if Mikey O'Halloran does get a run of and you get the arm around him, that's the type of player he is, the type of lad he is. He needs a bit of love, he needs a bit of encouragement. And you know, it's, I think he didn't get that at Rangers. And I think, you know, obviously we don't want him to go back. I would love him to stay at our club for a full season.
Is it loan till January or all season?
It's till January.
Till January.
Uh-huh. So obviously I want him to stay for all season, but if it means that Mikey's going to be up and running, scoring goals, and then he has to go, then that's brilliant. But as long as he's playing well for us, then I'm delighted.
Let's find out what's being said about that on the phone lines. Charlie is a Rangers fan. He's in Airdrie. Charlie, what are your thoughts?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, every time O'Halloran came on the park, didn't try a leg. He ended up where he was meant to end up because he's carry on. He ended up in the reserves because he'd not turned up from training. So he's his own worst enemy as far as I'm concerned. And away there, and I don't think he's even got a bottle to play for Rangers. That's the reason why he didn't hit it off. But any time I watched him, he ran down the wing with the ball and that was that. And then that would be the same about 15 minutes of the game. He'd just fade out. That'd be it.
Have you spoken to Michael O'Halloran, Charlie?
Have I spoken to him?
Yeah.
What's that going to be with?
Well, just because you seem very knowledgeable on him, he never tried a leg. Well, that's a hell of a statement to make about a footballer. Do you know that for a fact?
I go to the games and I can analyse the game, and when I watch a football player playing,
I don't think that's a fair accusation at all. Charlie, unless you've spoken to... No, I don't, and I think it totally devalues your point when you come on and make an accusation like that to open it up.
How did they end up where they ended up? Was it
well, it could be a number of reasons for that, Charlie.
And to say lack bottle, you don't know that either, unless the players told you that. You don't know that. To come on and think, look, I don't, if you want to say, Charlie, or you're a body language expert, if you to come on and say that... You know, I don't think that it worked for Michael O'Halloran. I'm not sure if he's Rangers class, if he's got the temperament, fine. But to come on and say he never tried a leg and he lacks bottle, I don't think that's very nice, Charlie.
Well,
to say that about any footballer. It's not nice at all. Listen, you've been totally unfair there.
Charlie,
totally unfair.
I think there's only one man who's going to know if he tried or not. So let's quit the speculation about that for a minute or two. Chris, what about... What about a stylistic factor here in the fact that Rangers are expected to have the ball all the time? Perhaps defences sit a little bit deeper, whereas St Johnston can afford to catch teams on the break and maybe that plays to his strengths a bit more. Is that a factor?
I think that is, Charlie, look you go to the games and you're entitled to your opinion like anybody else, but I think at times, as I've seen earlier, I think if Michael got a run of games in that team, then I'm sure he would have won you over. But it hasn't happened that way for him, and he's at us just now, and he's still a Rangers player, and that can change in the future. But
that'll
be good, but I don't, as I say, it's up to him if he proves me wrong, and then he'll come back close and say, well, it's completely wrong. But what I'm trying to say is, what I've seen and what I've got my main eyes, I've got my own opinion, as you say, and what I can see, I just think with the time, that was it.
Go on, get back to your point there about style, and I think that is something that is a factor as well. When we play against teams, there's a lot of times where maybe we don't have the ball as much as what, say, the Rangers do. So,
I mean, for instance, we heard Roger Hannah on Saturday's show saying that actually Motherwell had a lot of the ball on Saturday, but St Johnston ended up winning the game 4-1.
Exactly. Motherwell dominated possession, and then the first time we get the ball, well, we get up the park, it goes wide to Mikey. He isolates the defender 1-on-1, jinks past him and sticks it in the corner. You know, Mikey's the type of player with his pace. He needs space to play in and develop in. But at the same time, I watched Rangers last season, and there was times I thought they kept the ball too much, without possession, without any penetration. So it's about finding a balance, isn't it? So if you can get Mikey 1-on-1 with the defender, he actually lets him pace, cross, goal. It's all about the style of the management and the team. And obviously, for whatever reason, it wasn't working out for Mikey there. But to say that Mikey hasn't got something to offer, he's one of the fastest players I've ever played with. He's got great drive. He's got great technique, and he can finish as well. So he's got great attributes for any team, I think. And one of the main attributes in the modern game, I think, is pace, and Mikey's got an abundance of.
Now, a little bit earlier than expected, but let's cross over live to Celtic Park, because we do have team news ahead of that massive game in Champions League qualifying. Here's Alison Conroy.
Yep, do have the Celtic team. It will be Craig Gordon in goal tonight. It'll be a back four of Lustig, Simonovic, Tierney, and might just be a back three, actually, when I'm looking at it. Beaton's in there. Well, Beaton at the back as well. We wondered if he would play at the back. Then it'll be Brown and Cham sitting. Then it'll be Forrest, Rogic and Sinclair. Lee Griffiths, as expected, the lone striker. On the bench for Celtic tonight, it'll be De Vries, Armstrong, Benyu, Ayer, McGregor, Ralston and Miller. So to recap that, it'll be Gordon in goal, a back four of Lustig, Beaton, Simonovic and Tierney, Brown and Cham in front of them. Then it'll be Forrest, Rogic and Sinclair, with Lee Griffiths up top leading the line.
Thanks, Alison. We'll hopefully get back over for a flavour of the atmosphere as kickoff. Yeah, I've got the subs here. Yep, De Vries, Armstrong, Benyu, Ayer, McGregor, Ralston and Miller. In terms of that starting 11, Mark, well, I know we were talking about Michael O'Halloran. Sometimes things crop up here and we have to move on quickly. The biggest talking point, I would imagine, let's go through them one by one. Beaton in at centre half.
Yeah, look, it's an option. They're struggling for options. So for me, yeah, it's not ideal, but I would say Beaton and Simonovic is the best available partnership to the manager.
Chris, the next one that jumps out at me certainly is the central midfielder behind the striker, because Celtic's options in that area are unbelievable. Stuart Armstrong, we're going to get onto him very soon, by the way. We've got some interesting developments on his contract situation. So Armstrong's on the bench, McGregor's on the bench, and it's Rogic who's the man to be chosen. I mean, how do you separate those three? Because they all seem to perform well when they're in the team.
As I said earlier, it doesn't matter who he puts in the system, they seem to all come in and perform. I'm just a big fan of McGregor, especially playing against him. Oh, but when you see Tom Rogic, I wasn't even considering him. I didn't even think actually to consider Rogic, but I think with his season last year, it's unbelievable. So they've got real quality in that position. So I think you're looking at it there. Rogic doesn't weaken the side. He strengthens it as well. So it could be one of three, and it'd all do a job.
Mark, I'm not saying that Callum McGregor can't do this. In fact, he's actually pretty good at it as well. But I'm wondering if that's about Tom Rogic's ability to shoot from distance. You know, if you've got teams who are sitting and making life a bit difficult for you, and you might need one of those 25 yarders to fly in, Tom Rogic has shown on numerous occasions he can do that.
Yeah, he can, and you're right, McGregor can too. He's certainly got that in his locker. So look, it's probably almost come down to a toss of the coin for Brendan Rodgers, because there's not much to separate the two, perhaps. And again, I don't know anything about Astana, to be honest, so I'm speculating. But maybe Rodgers, with extra height and physical presence, that's maybe he thinks that's an advantage defending and attacking set pieces. Maybe, you know, Astana have got a fair bit of height in their team, so you put all that into the mix. But as we've said there, middle to front, Celtic are absolutely spoiled for choice, and he's gone for that personnel.
Celtic fans, let us know what you think of that team. Alec in Garthamlock is on the line. I think we can squeeze this one in before the travel. Alec, what do you make of that starting 11?
I thought you said, Gordon, that Ralston was playing it right back earlier before you went for the team news.
No. Just on Twitter, a few people suggesting that's what they would like to see, but no, he's on the bench.
You wouldn't believe that Twitter member. Big shot and says Robertson's going to sign for his national work. Forget that. No, listen, I want you to have a... I'm a Celtic fan, mate, but it's on Michael O'Halloran. Just maybe he wasn't good enough for Rangers. I know you're there, Chris, right? I quite like the boy, but I've got lots of Rangers fans, friends, and they were saying that he wasn't showing interest, and he kind of gave up a wee bit. I know somebody was saying he was told to come in and train at 6:30 in the morning himself, blah, blah, blah. But look at Big Boy Atta. He was right with the picture at Celtic. He said he was getting in training himself 2-3 in the morning, and he was working hard. Look how good he is now. Do you know how Michael's maybe just says, look, I'm just going to go back to St Johnstone to try and get some games? I know that's a good thing for him, but see, would I maybe stuck it to January, he might have got his chance.
I totally agree, but I think it was important for Michael to go out and get game time. And I think coming to somewhere he seems is like home to him is only going to do Michael a world of good. And one thing I will say, you're talking about working extra hard. Michael O'Halloran is one of the best pros I've played with. Doesn't go to the weekends, doesn't drink, always in a gym, in fantastic condition physically. So there's nothing about Michael O'Halloran's preparation or how he looks at himself as a professional. And you know, see all the players you're talking about as well. Like, there's players in that Celtic team under Ronny Dyla who are getting massively criticised about how good, and Brendan Rodgers come in and transformed them. So there's something about what a manager can get out of a player as well. So I think that can't be overlooked either when it comes to Michael O'Halloran. But what I will say is, Mikey is a fantastic professional, a great lad and a great player, and I just want him to do well for himself. And if it means that he does well for us, then goes back to Rangers and goes and kicks on with a great career for Rangers, brilliant. But what you're saying about him working hard, I don't think you could question Michael's work ethic.
Celtic fans, you'll be very interested in this latest update on Stuart Armstrong's contract. Let's just say it's moving towards a conclusion one way or another. That's coming up after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Download the app and have a bookie in your back pocket. Please gamble responsibly.
Now, in the second hour of tonight's show, we've got an exclusive interview with Lee Griffiths talking about the stupid actions that he feel cost him the European ban. So stay tuned for that one. But in the meantime, let's move on to another Celtic player in the headlines, Mark Guidi, because we can tell you tonight that Stuart Armstrong's contract situation should be done certainly this week, Mark Guidi. He could sign it as early as tomorrow. Yep. And after everything that's been going on back and forward, I would imagine that will be good news to most Celtic fans.
Yeah, and most importantly, good news for the boy. You know, it's something that everybody probably wanted sorted quicker. Brendan Rodgers, in his opinion, has said it's had an effect on Stuart Armstrong in the opening 3-4 weeks of the season. And, you know, that's why he's only started one or two games when he was one of the major players in the second half of last season. But I said in the programme on Saturday, we spoke to Fraser Wishart, who's part of his representatives, that, you know, Stuart Armstrong should have been signing. You know, for me, you know, at the moment, he's had 6 or 7 really good months, but he has to go and build on that. And, you know, I believe there's interest from like West Brom and Swansea.
Swansea is a genuine interest there. Yeah.
So that's fine, because you look at the money that's floating about down south with a year to go on his contract. You know, you probably could have got Stuart Armstrong for about £4 million, which in my opinion would probably be a bargain. But Stuart Armstrong should stay. He should sign. He He should concentrate and get into the team, becoming a regular, and then see a couple of years from now, Gordon, he's looking at a top eight club down south rather than a bottom eight. And I don't think going to a club like a West Brom or a Swansea fighting relegation is Stuart Armstrong's game. His is about driving forward, middle to front, being an attacking player in a team that likes to go forward. So I think it's good news for the player, and it'll save our Fraser from a bit of flack as well.
Celtic fans, what do you make of that news that Stuart Armstrong's due to sign the new contract within the next couple of days? 0141 951 1025. Chris Miller, we understand that progress was made on a number of sticking points today. Like we say, it could happen as early as tomorrow. Certainly by the end of the week is the hope. As a player, how beneficial is it when you get that off-field stuff put to bed and you can concentrate on the football?
I think it's, for him first and foremost, I think it'll be to get back in the Celtic starting 11. You can say it's definitely affected his form because the manager isn't picking him, so and he makes a decision, and it's not going to help him if he's not committed to the club. And I think as well, from an outsider looking in, for Stuart Armstrong, like, since Brendan Rodgers came in, he's become a better player. So whatever Brendan Rodgers is doing with him is elevated his game to another level. Celtic are a massive club. Every year they're there playing in Champions League. You want to go to a Swansea or a West Brom when you're battling mid-table and put in the print. I think he can do all the things that he wants to do with Celtic. You know, if Mark says that, if you're saying it was like a top eight English side or anything, or a top four, then obviously your head's going to be turned. But to play in front of 50,000-60,000 fans every week, if Celtic go on and qualify, you're playing against the biggest teams in the world in the Champions League. He's developing an international player for Scotland at Celtic. I don't see what the attraction is there.
Tell me this, Chris, you know a lot better than me on this point. Could Stuart Armstrong be a potential kind of replacement to Scott Brown, say 2 years from now, where Armstrong, you know, a couple of years down the line, could become that disciplined kind of sitter? Is he always going to be that more dynamic, you know, for the next 3 or 4 years? Or could he go and change his game and become Brown's successor?
I think you've seen that in his game of late, the way he can take control, he can help to take control of a game, and as you're saying, it right now he's dynamic, he's box to box, he's got great drive and great pace. But you know, as he gets into his, say, past his 30s, whatever, he's technically good enough to develop into that kind of, as you're saying, that Scott Brown role. And you know, Celtic is a team or even Rangers, if you play there long enough, you know, you've got legendary status. You know, throughout Scotland, obviously, if Stuart Armstrong, if he's got ambition to go in and play in England, then you know, who are we to judge that? Yeah. As well, if that's what Stuart Armstrong wants to do, if he wants to go down and test himself in England, then you know, that's up to him. You know, but are these clubs that have been mentioned, are they overall bigger clubs than Celtic or a Ranger? No chance, nowhere near it. And that's something that I think that can't be overlooked. And if it turns out that Stuart goes and signs his deal, then it would be great news for Celtic.
Well, Stephen's a Celtic fan in Coatbridge. Stephen, I take it you'd be happy to see Stuart Armstrong finalise that deal in the coming days. Stephen, still with us? I think Stephen's hung up on us, has he? Stephen, are you there? Stephen in Coatbridge has gone for a lie down. Let's see if we can get him back. But Mark, it's been a bit of a roller coaster as far as Stuart Armstrong's concerned, really, hasn't it? Because all of a sudden he's developed in, I suppose this is a compliment to him, he's developed into the type of player that fans are watching the newspapers and the radio stations every day to see if he has signed a new deal. Yeah. When this time last year he wasn't a first name in the team sheet at all, and that's credit to him for the
absolutely
way he's improved and those who helped him improve.
He grafted, because you know, I felt from John Ronnie Dye last time he was played out of position, he was taking a wee bit of stick. His head was down, clearly there's no doubt about that. His performances weren't up to the standard you would expect from Stuart Armstrong. But one thing that I have to say about him, and you'll know this, Gordon, as well, I don't like he is on the park, Chris, as an opponent, but as a person, he's an absolute pleasure to deal with. He's a lovely guy, intelligent, great manners, just the basic manners in a person, so just a really nice guy to deal with. So, you know, when he's not been in the team and Brendan Rodgers saying is that a lack of focus, wee bit of loss of form, then I'm feeling for him, because you know he's the type of guy that wants to go and do well. So I'm delighted that your exclusive story they've just brought us here 5 minutes ago, if that turns out to be the case over the next 48 hours, it's great news for everyone.
Right, let's see if we can get Stephen and Coatbridge back on. Stephen, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes,
okay?
I can indeed, Stephen. Stephen, you're a Celtic fan. What do you make of that news that Stuart Armstrong should be signing his new contract within the next day or two?
Yeah, obviously, every Celtic fan, delighted. I think the past few weeks, what's been going on with the contract, has been really affecting his game. I think you could see that on the park. He wasn't 100% focused. Last season, we had a fantastic season, but as Mark said, you know, he's had one great, really outstanding season. He should sign a new deal and push on for here. You know, under Brendan Rodgers, he's absolutely flourished as a player. He's come on leaps and bounds. And I'm just delighted. Like every single Celtic fan, I just can't wait to see the guy getting back on the park and doing what he does best, driving forward. And about tonight's team, again, Mark was correct with Big Rodgick in the middle of the park for his presence alone. But, you know, he can hit a ball. He puts himself about Big Rodgick. So, and we've got plenty of options on that bench. If Brendan needs to change it, we've got tons of options. And I just hope, you know, that we got off to a good start tonight. It's important we get off. We push forward. I'd say, you know, don't give them the ball. Don't let them settle. Just keep at it. Play as soon as the first whistle goes, get in about them, and I'm sure that we'll win tonight. I'm going for 2-0, and hopefully keep a clean sheet. But I can't wait to tonight. Looking forward to it.
You're just looking at the bench there, Mark. Stephen talking about the options. This is the official Celtic team sheet that they've put out. So there's no Johnny Hayes on that bench. I'm not sure what the situation is there. To my knowledge, he wasn't injured, but I'm sure we'll find out a bit more about that. So in terms of attacking changes, Armstrong, Benyu, McGregor, Calvin Miller's on the bench as well. Yeah. Anthony Ralston and Christopher Eyer making up the other outfield players. So Brendan Rodgers, we'll feel comfortable enough going into this game. We know, despite all the hype, despite the Celtic fans waiting up till 11 o'clock last night, desperate for Patrick Roberts to sign, it didn't happen. Mm-hmm. But Brendan Rodgers should be comfortable enough with what he's got.
Yeah, well, certainly the two youngsters been on the bench is quite significant for me. Anthony Ralston, who operates as a right back, and Calvin Miller, who operates as a left back. Now, what that does for the manager, it gives him options. If it's not quite going well with Beaton, he can either move Lustig across and bring on Ralston, or move Tierney in one and bring on Calvin Miller. It could be, let's say, for example, they've got a 1-2 goal lead that they want to defend, they don't want to concede, they're under pressure the last 10 minutes. You've got the option of bringing on one of the young fullbacks and moving Lustig or Tierney across and become a three-man central defence. So it gives you plenty of options of having those guys on the bench. With Johnny Hayes, maybe he is injured. It might just be, you know, a lack of numbers in terms of he's just not been able to make it when you look at the other options available.
Beat the pundits with Goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Now coming up, we've got an exclusive interview with Lee Griffiths. He's been telling Alison Conroy that he won't be tying any more scarves to goalposts after it cost him a place in Celtic's European game recently. That's all coming up. Beat the Pundit as well. That's after the news.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Backing Scottish football to have a cracking season. Please gamble responsibly. Scoreboard.
Wednesday night's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with me, Gordon Duncan. Chris Miller and Mark Guidi are here as well. A big night for Celtic in Champions League qualification. We'll have all the build up to that one before the news. We were just talking about Johnny Hayes and his omission from the Celtic bench. Well, it turns out Johnny Hayes is ill, so that explains why he's been left out this evening. Let's get to Beat the Pundit though, shall we? Because I know these two are sitting nervously.
Beat the Pundit with Goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Chris Miller's particularly nervous. He's not been with us yet this season. He is
a flyer this year.
Squeaky bum time for Chris Miller. He's nervous. Let's meet our contestant for the evening though. He's Robert McEachran. He's a Rangers fan. Robert, are you feeling confident?
Not at all,
John. Oh, come on. I like it when they come on with a bit of fighting talk, Robert. What makes you say that?
I know. I've seen no news at all today, so I'll just have to give it a shot.
Just have to wing it. Just go for it.
I beat Gordon DL before.
That doesn't take much, does it, Robert?
Aye, you're right.
It says you're a Rangers fan, Robert. What have you made of the start to the season? I suppose we're only a couple of weeks in and already it's been a bit of a roller coaster, hasn't it?
It has. I'm not going to make any judgments, I don't think, yet. I think there's a lot of factors with the Hibs game there that you've been over plenty the last week. I think
you could say that.
We'll see how the Hearts game goes and then we'll take it from there, I think.
Right, who would you rather face, Mark Guidi or Chris Miller?
Oh, I don't know. If Chris is nervous, then that's what I'd
take him, yeah. Try and capitalise on those nerves, right? Heads, it's Mark Guidi. Tails, it's Chris Miller. Oh, and it is a tails as well, Chris Miller. His worst fears have been realised.
I didn't see you flick that. That's a fact.
There's three big computer screens in front of me, and you're just not tall enough to see over, and neither am I. So, right, let's see if we can make Chris Miller listen to something else in the meantime. Yeah, that's fine. He can't hear us anymore, Robert. Good stuff. Right, 30 seconds for you, Robert. Just get fire on right through them. You can pass, just see how many you can get through, all right?
What?
Good man. We wish you all the best, and your time starts now. Who beat Celtic's under-20s in last night's Challenge Cup?
Pass.
Who was the last non-British manager of Rangers before Pedro Caixinha?
Paul Graham.
What was the aggregate score between Celtic and Astana last season?
3-1.
Motherwell and which other team have a -4 goal difference in the Scottish Premiership?
Hull.
What team's currently scored the most goals in the English Premier League this season? And Highland Hospice has sold their 19% stake in which Scottish Championship side? Highland Hospice.
Inverness, Charlie.
Okay, let's see if we can bring Chris Miller back. Chris, are you with us?
Yep.
You are indeed, okay. Same set of questions to you, Chris. Are you ready?
Yep.
30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Who beat Celtic's under-20s in last night's Challenge Cup?
Pass.
Who was the last non-British manager of Rangers before Pedro Caixinha? What was the aggregate score between Celtic and Astana last season?
3-2.
Motherwell and which other team have a -4 goal difference in the Scottish Premiership at the moment?
Come on.
Which team's currently scored the most goals in the English Premier League this season?
Man United.
And Highland Hospice has sold their 19% stake in which Scottish Championship
side? Inverness Carthage.
Which Scottish club was based at Brockville until 2003?
Falkirk.
Ah, see, Robert, sometimes you just the benefit of answering quickly. Chris get through one more question than you, but that doesn't mean he's gone on to win it. Let's go through the questions. Mark Guidi, you're laughing here, Mark Guidi. You're trying to give away the winner.
No, it's going to be tight.
Do you know this one? Who beat Celtic's under-20s in the Challenge Cup?
I've written them down. I was trying to do it like I said, I've got Gretna.
Well, you won't be surprised to hear.
Geographically,
you're in the exactly, right neck of the woods. It was Annan.
Berwick, yeah. I checked his days,
it was Annan. There you are. You both got the next one right, though. Who was the last non British manager of Rangers before Pedro Caixinha? It was Paul Le Guin, one each. Celtic Astana last season was 3-2, so that's Chris Miller goes 2-1 in the lead. None of you knew this one. Motherwell and Dundee have a -4 goal difference, so still 2-1 to Chris Miller. Both on the ball here though. Which team's currently scored the most goals in the English Premier League? It's Man United. Highland Hospice, the closing the title, has sold their 19% stake in Inverness Cali Thistle. So Chris was already one up on you, and he managed to get through another question. Which Scottish club was based at Brockville until 2003? It was Falkirk. So that's a 5-3 victory for Chris Miller. A good effort considering you didn't know any of the news today, Robert.
I'll give him that. That was pretty good. I should have taken Mark.
Yeah, actually, do you know what? It would have been a draw. I only get three right, actually, Robert. So we would have gone to a tiebreaker. So
he's very honest as well, Robert, because he could have sat here and said that he would have got eight right, even though we only get through seven questions. But there you are. Thanks for taking part, Robert.
Cheers, boys. Thanks.
Good man. Same time tomorrow night, 01419511025. If you want to take part and beat the pundit, Chris Miller, you can have your 10 pence back that you gave me a loan off to toss the coin. Paying big money at St Johnson these days, your 10 pence piece.
I need that, don't worry.
Didn't even offer me the chance to keep it either. Right, we've been talking about the build-up to that big Celtic game tonight. We know that Lee Griffiths is going to lead the line, and let's hear from him. We've got an exclusive interview with Lee Griffiths, and he says he knows that scoring goals is the best way to silence opposition fans, and that he might just now stop provoking them, because he was handed a ban by UEFA, remember, for tying a Celtic scarf to the goalpost at Linfield. That was after objects, including a glass bottle, were thrown at him during that Champions League qualifier. Well, Griffiths has been speaking to our senior sports reporter Alison Conroy about that ban and his desire to stay injury-free this season.
Lee, welcome to Super Scoreboard. How frustrating has the start of the season been for you with this injury?
Yeah, it's been frustrating. Obviously, the ban in European football didn't help, but you know, it gives me an extra week to recover. And you know, you've seen for the first two games against Hearts and Kilmarnock that you know I'm fully fit and ready to go.
You mentioned that ban in Europe. Take you back to that night. What's going through your head when you're trying to take that corner kick?
Don't get hit. It's just one of the ones that you try and you put the ball on the spot and obviously you take a couple of steps back to go and take the corner, but you know things are flying at you from all different angles, and you know if one of them hit you, you're going to be seriously injured. And the Buckfast spot was that was a funny one, to be fair. If that hits me, I could be knocked out for a while. But you know I got booked for it, and it was one of these ones where, you know, it was stupid. But you know, I think after the game, I've took things a bit far, and you know, I've got a ban, which is, you know, it's understandable. After the game, you know, I wanted to leave my own marker, and you know, there's ways of going about that. But you know, the way I done it was bang out of order.
Tying the scarf to the goalpost is something that you'd done before that as well, but do you regret it looking back?
Yeah, obviously I done it in Ibrox and Tynecastle, so you know, I had no feedback from that, so I didn't think it would have been a problem. But you know, looking back now, it was stupid, and you know, it's certainly one I won't be doing again.
How difficult is it when you're getting some abuse from the opposing fans to not react? We've seen Neil Lennon at the weekend as well, reacting when Hibs scored.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's one of the things you just try and block out, especially, you know, you're going to get abused wherever you go. It's just about channeling that aggression that you've got, and, you know, me as a striker, the only way to silence the opposition crowd is by scoring a goal. And I think, you know, that'll be the exact same tomorrow night. They'll have probably a handful of fans, but, you know, if you can get a good goal to silence them and get the crowd back on our side, you know, they know what Celtic Park's like, and you know, we've done it in a real fortress.
You of course got injured last season. Moussa came in and took your place. With Moussa out injured, do you see this as your chance to really stake your claim for the season?
No, I don't think that at all. You know, you've seen last season when both of us were fully fit that, you know, we shared that, you know, Moussa came in and done really well, and then, you know, towards Christmas time I came in and started scoring goals as well. So you know, it's unfortunate that Moussa's injured just now. You know, you want your best players available for the big games, but you know, that happens in football, and you just need to go on with it.
The manager has been looking at the possibility of maybe bringing in another striker. Is that something you would welcome? Do you think he needs to do that?
Listen, that's up to him and the coaching staff, whether they bring in another striker or not. It's not to me. I just concentrate on my own job, and my job right now is to focus on Celtic and getting us through to the Champions League.
Let's look at the season ahead. What are your targets for this season?
Just to try and stay fit as much as possible. You know, last season was a lot of stop-start with my calves, and you know, had a back injury as well, but from March onwards, you know, I had a good run, so you know, I'm hoping that, you know, there's no more calf injuries, and you know, I can stay fully fit for the full season.
You're closing in that 100 goals for the club as well. How much would that mean to you to get that?
Yeah, I think, you know, to score 100 goals at a club like this, it would be a massive achievement for myself. You know, I think the last person to do it was John Hartson, and you know, you've seen the strikers that have been here since him, and you know, they've got close to that figure, but you know, they've moved on to bigger and better things. So to get that 100 goal mark and still be here would be a massive achievement for myself, and I'm looking forward to the day I hit it. When I play football, I give 110% for the team I'm playing for. You know, it's well documented that I'm a Hibs fan, but you know, regardless of what team I'm playing for, you know, I want them to do well, and you know, it just so happens that, you know, I'm at the biggest club in Scotland, and you know, I'm enjoying my football at the minute, and you know, hopefully that continues.
Mark, with the honest stuff there from Lee Griffiths, he calls the scarf tying incident against Linfield stupid. He says it was bang out of order, so he's taking his punishment, and he's going to change by the sounds of it.
Yeah, well, he was honest, and it was an act of stupidity, so it's good. It's the right sign that he's acknowledged that. However, he's very lucky that Celtic got through the Rosenborg tie, because you know, he would have come in for a lot more criticism had Celtic suffered because of the, you know, tying the scarf at the goalpost. So he seems to be, listen, he's a quality footballer, there's no doubt about that, but just once or twice a season he just seems to let himself down a wee bit, and that's something he just has to concentrate on doing, because Lee Griffiths, the footballer, Lee Griffiths, the goal scorer, there's absolutely no problem. He's a top asset for Scotland. He's maturing into an asset for his country as well on the part, and if he can just eliminate the one or two wee misdemeanours all the time, then you've got the complete package.
Yep, a few people on Twitter here, Peter and a guy who goes by the name of This Is Our City, and Ryan as well, all pointing out that Arsenal have scored the same amount of goals as Man United. That's one of the Beat the Pundit questions, but both people said Man United, so we don't really have an issue on our hands. Hopefully you guys can
technically you could say in terms of the greatest goal difference, couldn't you? So
there we are.
Man U plus
one.
You
both said Man United. No problem
there. I'd Huddersfield. I forgot Man United's going four on Sunday.
No problem there at all. Back to Lee Griffiths, Chris Miller. We touched very briefly earlier on having that focal point back. He seems to thrive at this stage, doesn't he, in terms of being Celtic's main man, because we know that him and Moussa Dembele shared that responsibility throughout the course of last season. But when you look at the qualifiers last season, I think Lee Griffiths scored five times to essentially help Celtic get to the group stages. He's back in there leading the line again, and he will love that pressure, won't he, of having to be the man who gets the goals tonight?
I think there's always been a wee question mark for some reason about Lee Griffiths. Can he do it in the big stage and in the big games? And I think, as you say, of later, five goals to help him qualify, it shows you how important he is. I think sometimes people look at him and the Bellin and who's the better player, and I think if you really watch the game all round, all technically, I think Griffiths is just as good. I think he strikes the ball, he's one of the players, like, every time he hits the ball or strikes it, he seems to catch it so cleanly. He's just got that natural ability to strike the ball so well, and for me, he's developed his all round game under Brendan Rodgers. It's developing all the time, and he's at an age now where I think the maturity level is getting better all the time. You can see he's obviously been working his game physically as well. He looks a lot stronger. So I think those would be instances that Mark was talking about. It's something he needs to get out of his game for his own good. You know, I think he's one of those players that he's got a bit of, he plays on the edge. You know, he's got a wee bit of a devilment about him, which I think you need as well. But, you know, it's a bit controlling that and not letting it spill over and doing the gestures like tying the kind of flags to the goalposts and stuff. It's just stuff that distract from Lee Griffiths, the player. You know, you want to see him go into the kind of, see him as the same kind of mode as Scott Brown, you know, that kind of real leader for Celtic. And I think that's something that he can do and be for Celtic.
Mark, talking about doing it in the big games, as Chris said, you know, if that was a question mark that ever was hanging over Lee Griffiths, how much do you think, and I'm not sure perhaps when we watch games, we're not footballers, maybe we put a bit too much emphasis on these things, but how much do you think that double against England will have changed his outlook psychologically in terms of what stage you can perform at?
Yeah, I think it would have given him a massive boost. I just, you know, as much as, you know, the score for the nation, I actually felt for Lee Griffiths delivering two beauties like that, and then, you know, couple of minutes later, Harry Kane pops up. But yeah, I think it'll give him a big confidence boost, because I think we've mentioned a few times in the programme, he bangs in goals for fun, etc, etc, but he's never been a regular pick for Gordon Strachan. As far as we know, there's not been big money bids put in from that Celtic have had to consider from Premiership clubs or from clubs abroad, and like, you seem to see guys that can score goals, you know, are valuable commodities, and they go for big bucks. But Griffiths has, as far as we know, never really had that. So I think that the two goals that he scored for Scotland would have given him a lift. Not that I'm saying he lacks self-confidence, I think he's a competent boy on the pitch, but certainly wouldn't have done him any harm. And if Celtic can get through into the Champions League by this time next week, Gordon, and he gets a run at it, then, you know, if he goes and scores a couple of goals in the Champions League, all of a sudden people will, I think, in bigger leagues, I'm not saying that bigger clubs, in bigger leagues will take notice over.
Let's get back to the phone lines then. 01419511025 if you want to have your say. John is in Wishaw. John, what's on your mind?
Aye, just a couple of things. Mark, I think Lee Griffiths was injured for the first game anyway, which wouldn't have really mattered whether he was banned or no, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, but I just think, you know, anyway, over the PC they felt it, and you know, it wouldn't have done him any favours. That's what I was trying to say, John.
And also, the Rangers fans getting on to the referee the other day about basically calling him a cheat. Dougie Imrie get kicked right up the bahookie with Joe Gardner.
Bahookie, it's not a word we hear on Super Scoreboard too often.
Folks, and it was the same referee. Moshney bundled Albion Rovers goalie into the net, and they get the same guy was the guy who hit the goal store in the goal line. So I don't think the guy's a cheat. I think he just made a couple of mistakes on Saturday.
John, your powers of research, your powers of memory are far superior to mine. I could not have told you the officials when Rangers played Albion Rovers, I must admit. So hat off to you. What about
on the internet.
What about your team tonight? What are you making that lineup?
Tom Rodgick, right? He's no. I think Mark, if he's been in the games, might agree. He's not played great this season, but I think he's maybe been shown a wee bit in training now, and that's why he's come in to be the man in that position rather than McGregor, who I like, but I think Rodgick is a better player.
Yeah, I find it difficult to split the two of them. I think that McGregor has made a terrific contribution. You know, again, if we speak about Stuart Armstrong, I think that he got overshadowed by Stuart Armstrong in the second half of the season, rightly or wrongly. But I think he's one of the guys that doesn't look for publicity. He's not one of these guys that's a flashy player, but he's a very, very competent footballer and is integral to what Brendan Rodgers is trying to do at Celtic. But like I said, I'm sure it would be the same for Brendan Rodgers. He could almost have flipped a coin between the two, and it might actually come down to just what the strengths and weaknesses are in the Astana team as to why Rodgers has got the nod over McGregor tonight.
Gordon.
Yes.
Can I go? I've got a washing out in the range. Come on, Chiel.
Oh, you better go, John. There's nothing worse. You're in deep trouble. He's actually hung up the phone. John and Wisha has had to go because he's washing out.
Just talking on form there and what John was saying there, you know, I think Sinclair is due a performance as well. I think his performances are late. Haven't been, you know, enough for me to say that, like, he's a fantastic player, but from what he's the standard he's set himself. The games I've seen recently, he just seems to of the game, especially European games, he's not really had that impact where he had last year. And, you know, I just hope that is a big game for Celtic tonight because they'll need him.
I think I've seen a few people commenting along similar lines to Chris there, Mark. But I suppose where Scott Sinclair will take confidence from is he's still actually managing to find the back of the net. I mean, in different circumstances, we know his goal against Linfield over there, it was a sort of deflected header. Then the one against Hearts, it was a bit of a tap in. But I was actually quite surprised to look back over Celtic's results and find that he's actually been scoring quite frequently again.
Yeah, I think part of it is, I agree with Chris actually. I think that Scott Sinclair's not looked in the opening 3 or 4 weeks of this season, the Scott Sinclair of last season. That said, he set such a high standard week in, week out. It'd be very difficult to replicate that this term. But tonight and next Tuesday night in Kazakhstan, Celtic are going to need their big players to get through, and Scott Sinclair will be absolutely desperate to step up to the plate and be one of the guys, particularly with Dembele now there. And if Griffiths is looking for a bit of a hand, then Sinclair's the kind of guy that can produce that all day long. But yes, so far this season, he's not quite reached the heights of last season.
I must admit, I'm really worried about John and Wisha. I hope he got to that washing before the rain came on. There's absolutely nothing worse. I've got a good full-time teaser for these guys as well, so stay tuned for that. I know a lot of you like to play along at home. That's coming up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com, backing Scottish football all season long. Please gamble responsibly.
Wednesday night's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with me, Gordon Duncan, Chris Miller and Mark Guidi are here as well. Kick off at Celtic Park around 20 minutes or so away. We'll try and cross over live again and try and soak up a bit of that pre-match atmosphere. But in the meantime, we've got a good full-time teaser for you guys. Chris, I'm sure you've missed this over the summer. We're looking for 11 players. So that's not too many. That's a good football number. We're looking for 11 players who've scored 4 or more goals in one top flight game in Scotland, and that's from season 97-98 onwards. So we're looking for the 11 players that have scored 4 in a single game.
Negri and Selenko.
Negri is, Selenko is not.
Yeah, that was for his country. Yeah.
Larsson.
Let me see. Henrik Larsson, yes. I mean, I'll take bonus points along the way if you can tell me the game, but I won't hold my breath.
Negri was home to Dundee United.
Oh, look, it's superb. 1997 as well, the earliest one on the list.
Was that the game? Chris Boyd.
Henrik Larsson was in a 7-1 victory at Motherwell in 99. Chris Boyd. Yep, that's spot on as well. Also against Dundee United, by the way. 5-2.
Yep.
For Kilmarnock, 2004. Okay, I'll give you a couple of minutes to think about that one. We'll get back to it. So we're looking for that. This one's been sent in by Martin Burns. We know Martin contributes quite a lot of these full-time teasers. It's 11 players that have scored 4 or more goals in a single top-flight game in Scotland from 97-98 onwards. If you think you can fox the guys, if you've got a full-time teaser of your own, why not send it in fulltime@clyde1.com? And you never know, hopefully you can catch the guys out. Let's get back to the phone lines in the meantime, though. It's 01419511025 if you want to have your say. John is there and he wants to talk about Pedro Caixinha. John.
Just before you get there, neither one of the Dundee United's not in the Premier League.
Conceding more than 4 goals from one player in a game.
I've got to know there anyway. I don't like them. I wouldn't want them back.
Well, you're well entitled to that opinion. No, I'm sure there's some angry Dundee United fans will disagree with you. What's your point about Pedro Caixinha?
Right,
I'm sure they do.
Chris, are you still at St Johnston?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. Can you tell me why Michael O'Hara's all of a sudden turning into a player? Or could he no handle playing for Rangers?
I mean,
all of a sudden he's turning into a player.
We were actually talking about this a bit earlier on, John. I'll forgive you for missing it, but Chris, just bring us your thoughts on John's question there.
No, look, John, like, obviously you're entitled to your opinion, as I'm entitled to mine. I've played with the guy. I've saw what he can do. I saw what he's actually done when he played against Rangers. So look, you can't say that he isn't a good player and that he hasn't
never said
got
he wasn't. Never said he wasn't. I'm not saying he wasn't. I just don't think it's just like Margaret Wycorn and Gardner have all of a sudden hit their own form.
Well, so if you're saying that, then maybe you can look at what else to look at. So if they're going and playing at other clubs and they're doing the business or scoring goals, then
you know where I'm going to go. We've got Rangers have got a meeting, a great team, right? But that man at the helm is not going to. It's not going to happen. As much as you try to convince me, again on Saturday, we've got the fight, we've got a team there, but tactically, I don't think. Mark, he must be your best pal in the world, having Pedro Caixinha, because everything that comes out of his mouth, you must love him, because it's nonsense.
Do we?
And you jump over it.
I think he's toned it down and reined it in a bit. John, I think he has. You compare his first 2 or 3 weeks in the job, and Gordon will back me up on this. You know, I think
he's naming opposition teams and naming his own team and so on.
He's a wee bit more measured now. Listen, he'll still give a headline like, you know, Saturday afternoon after the game.
Well,
in certain situations, though, he's been clever. He's got to do that because it deflects away from the result and the performance and the tactics being overanalyzed when you can go and cite the problem situation with Neil Lennon, so that can work in his favour. Look, I happen to think if it works out for Pedro Caixinha, I've got my doubts as well, John. Saturday is absolutely massive against Hearts. I don't know if he would survive another defeat. I would imagine if there is a defeat on Saturday that it would prompt a discussion in the Rangers boardroom, but I might be wrong about that. But, you know, you've got to be positive getting into the game and believe that certainly you should be able to beat Hearts at home on Saturday.
I don't know if this is true, but I've heard that there's a certain man who pushed this and somebody disagreed with him and left because of him. I don't want to get into names because, you know, I mean, you've been putting the names out, but you probably know me in the press. See, I don't understand, really. I watched it. I go every week, right, as you can appreciate. And even against Motherwell, the fullbacks, you know what I mean, Saturday's game there, we were on attack, put the post, and Tavernier and Hodgson could come and join me in the Western closure. That's how far they were up the park, and that's how we get caught out. And then there's more tactical I could talk about, and people will criticise me for coming on and criticising. I can criticise because I watch it. Mm-hmm. John Beaton on Saturday, we were never winning anyway, you know what I mean? Didn't matter what you done with him, that man was just game. There's just, I don't understand what a man was doing. If I'd done that on a weekly basis and a job, I'd get a sack. But we're talking about the SFA and,
well, I certainly think Anthony Stokes, there's no doubt about it. Anthony Stokes is very,
McGregor
very
should have went as well. McGregor for his rugby tackle.
I heard one of the Rangers supporters on the phone and talking about it last night. I watch the highlights.
It's the one on Morelos, isn't it?
But certainly Stokes is lucky. Was very lucky that he wasn't given a red card. I think that Anthony Stokes should have been sent off at some point during the game. But over the piece, we'll see how Rangers' appeal goes tomorrow afternoon for Ryan Jack's red card.
So where's the balance, John, I was just going to say, where's the balance of blame for you then? Because you're on, obviously not happy with the manager, but you're also very unhappy with the referee. So does the referee's performance let the manager off in your eyes, if you get what I mean?
We'll never know that. But can I say something?
You can.
How's the three top referees in Scotland sent off seven men? Right? Seven men they sent off. The three men to be top referees. Right?
Who are the three top? And so Craig Thompson, John Beaton?
I wouldn't say John Beaton is, but he's meant to be one of the top, right? And Wally Collin, he sent three off by all accounts.
He didn't. I think he sent off one, Jack Baird of St Mirren. He was doing the Renfrewshire derby.
Somebody told me he sent off three, but it seems that
Craig Thompson sent off three at St Johnston.
Yeah.
And honestly, see the Motherwell keeper. I know he picked the ball up right outside the box, but was that denying an old goal? Was the guy ever going to get the ball?
John, I think it's one of those ones. The rules are, if the keeper deliberately picks the ball,
going to be
up.
Interesting to hear what a St Johnston player makes of that one, John. Let's see.
It's like, he's obviously had a rush of blood. He should have really just put his foot through it and then kicked up the park, but he's not, and he's tried to atone for his error, and he's jumped on the ball and it's just outside. And so by letter of the law, Craig Thompson has to send him off, and the other two are sending off. He's in there with the ball, but you can't tackle that way. He's lunged in, he's out of control. And he had to go. And the second one is,
I think most people tend to think that the last one Craig Thompson got wrong,
the last one
Charles Dunn.
But for where I was sitting, it looked like a penalty kick.
Can I say something to you, Chris?
Yeah, John.
Do you know, think he was trying to even it up for last year for getting a penalty for hitting the belly? You know what I mean?
Oh, I wasn't too happy about that one. But
he's just got over that one, John. He's just about got over it.
No, I mean, but can you see, you're highlighting, it's a high profile game now. I'm highlighting things that we're seeing quite clearly. And I'm sorry, but if you're too keen saying John Beaton get everything right.
I think Hugh admitted that Anthony Stokes should have been sent off.
But Hugh wasn't watching the same game I was watching. Seriously.
He wasn't watching any game. He was at a wedding on Saturday.
Oh, no, he was it? Comment then.
No, I'm talking about, based on what he's seen, he agreed that Anthony Stokes should have been sent off.
Can I say something? See the Dan McGregor tackle, right? Seriously, if you call it a tackle, I could not believe, seriously. I've seen FIFA tackles. I've seen, Joe Gardner's was terrible last year, so he went walkies. But how Dan McGregor can grab somebody around the neck, flying through the air, and the boy get the foul against them is just, I really don't know what John Beaton was watching. But I could talk all day. But Pedro, Rangers have got a good team in the making, my personal opinion, but not with that man at the helm.
John, no, I would say, and listen, I'm not totally defending John Beaton, but do you know what, Gordon, and it goes back to the point that I've gone on about for long enough about players diving and simulating. Yes, referees can make mistakes, and we can argue all day, was it a red, was it a yellow, should he have stayed, should he have walked? But you know what as well? Players have got to take responsibility and try and make it, just be more responsible on the pitch. They make, the, you know, put a powder keg game like Saturday, they make it ever so difficult for referees. And therefore, you know, the more decisions you've got to call, the less chance you've got it right when there's 15, 16, 17 players all getting together. So see, players as well, as much as we can criticise referees in the media and supporters coming on the phone in from different clubs, players have got to take a portion of the blame and they've got to stand up and be more responsible.
Thanks to John and Paisley for that call. Derek is in Lark Hall. He's a Rangers fan and he wants to move on from the referee. I can't believe it, Derek. Move on from the referee. It's only Wednesday, a few days on. Let's do it.
I don't know how you're doing, lads. I just wanted to kind of add to the bit. Well, I'd move on to the ref, but at the same time, when you go back the week before, I don't think there's a bias. This whole thing about Club 1872 and about Neil Lennon and about the bias petitions that are about for the referee. Last week at Motherwell, and I think you're a Motherwell fan, Gordon, but I've got friends that are Motherwell fans and they were crying out for a penalty for the Hodgson handball for the Tavernier foul. The ref never gave them against Rangers, so at that as well. And I think in the game on Saturday, Dorns was lucky to stay in the pitch. I think Cardozo was lucky to stay in the pitch. He had a bad game, but I don't think there's any bias in it. As Mark was saying there, some of the players had a nightmare. Candias got brought off in the first after about half time when the manager changed formation, but some of the players just weren't good enough. And the guy a couple of minutes ago was adding about Kai Sheenan. I'm not convinced either, to be honest, because fair enough, he changed it at half time, but I don't know how Kenny Miller stayed on the pitch for the 90 minutes playing centre mid. I don't know how he brought Penn on when you could see we were crying out for somebody to sit back. I know he tried to kind of bypass the midfield by going like in the back to front, but Dorans was knackered. Bringing somebody like Rossiter on, who had at least played in the games in Europe and played minutes during the season. Penn had played 15 minutes against Marseille, and just, I don't know where he gets these decisions from.
Yeah, because Rossiter had he had played the Dunfermline game, didn't he?
Aye, and even against Dunfermline, to be honest, I know we won 6-0, but there was periods of that game for maybe 10-minute spells where they couldn't get the ball, and you think maybe we're sitting deep to try and bring them on, but Rossiter looked busy running about, pressing well, putting tackles in. It would have just freed Dorns to move forward a wee bit if we brought him on, but Penner just never added anything for the time he came on at all. He just was a waste of space.
Would you like to see Rossiter in beside Dorans on Saturday if Jack doesn't get a red card rescinded?
To be honest, I wasn't a fan of Brian Jack joining. I didn't think he was Aberdeen's best player, but he's done well when he came in. I think they're building up a decent partnership, but aye, probably, because it would allow Dorns to go forward a bit more. If we played at four in the midfield, I wouldn't have Windass left mid. He can only play 40 minutes, it looks like, before he either packs it in or just, I don't know, he just doesn't seem to live up to it. But I think if we play that formation, Rossiter in the middle, sitting back, it would up three Dorns a wee bit. I think that would be the way to go.
Who else do you play instead of Windass, Derek? Because I take your point that he's not managed to do it for a 90 minutes, but he certainly seems, that the 40 minutes or so that he's been on form, he's been fairly effective so far.
He's done all right, but I think that's a problem. Maybe, again, you need to look at Kai Sheenan. People are crying out for us to buy Jamie Walker, who I know is a winger, but he's going to shoehorn and Windass into that position. He signed this guy, Dalcio, who's only in loan, who, again, I don't think he's done anything so far. You maybe try and put, there's nobody really, there isn't anybody to play in that position. You look at, there isn't anybody. That's I suppose that's it. We've signed a number of strikers, let people go, shoehorning Kenny Miller into a kind of deep midfield role. maybe we just need to put the money out for Jamie Walker to give us another option.
Well, certainly if Rangers can sign Jamie Walker, Derek, then, you know, I think that's a really good piece of business. He's a really good player. He's one of the best young talents in the country.
And he's got a nice chance to show what he can do against Rangers this Saturday. If he's, well, exactly. I'm assuming he will be in the squad like he was last week.
It would certainly enhance the Rangers team. There's no doubt about that. But listen, we've been speaking a lot tonight about Michael O'Halloran as well. You know, it's about providing the full package too. So listen, we'll wait and see. I'm just, sorry to interrupt. I'm just, well, that's my head. Lee Griffiths and Adam Rooney.
You're back on the teaser already.
Just in case.
Let me have a look at my list. Neither of them are in there. No, Lee Griffiths or Adam Rooney.
Chris Dillon.
Is somebody named a Dutch striker that used to play for Rangers?
Mikey Moles.
Goodness sake, Derek. Right, do you know what, Derek? It was a good call, so I'll let you away with giving one of those answers away. I'm going to get rid of you, Derek, before you spoil it any further. Michael Moles, he scored 4.
Did Stephen McLean score 4 in the game?
Not according to my list.
Many non-Old Firm players.
Let me see. Not many. Only 2, I think, from glancing at the list. We will get back to it very soon then. Give you a couple of minutes to get your thoughts. We'll have the full-time teaser and we'll build up to kick off at Celtic Park coming up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Download the app and have a bookie in your back pocket. Please gamble responsibly.
Kickoff is fast approaching at Celtic Park. Here's Alison Conroy.
Yeah, the Champions League theme tune rings round Celtic Park. A full house here for this one. It's Celtic against Astana in this Champions League playoff match. The starting 11 for Celtic is Gordon in goal, the back four of Lustig, Beaton, Simonovic and Tierney. Brown and Cham in front of them. Now it's Forrest, Rogic and Sinclair with Lee Griffiths up top on the bench. Armstrong, De Vries, Benyu, Ayer, McGregor, Ralston and Miller. Of course, these sides met each other 12 months ago in a Champions League qualifier. 6 of the Astana players who started at Celtic Park a year ago also start again tonight. Some interesting stats about the referee as well. Apparently in his last 12 games, just the 8 red cards and the 71 yellow cards. So it could be an interesting evening here at Celtic Park, but almost time for kickoff in this Champions League playoff, Gordon.
There we are. That's Alison at Celtic Park. She'll speak to all the main players and managers tonight. Bring us that audio on tomorrow night's Super Scoreboard. Mark Guidi, you can tell by the noise there, we know there have been some big nights at Celtic Park. The Green Brigade section, of course, is back open. The banner's there. We're not here to take part, we're here to take over, it says. And it sounds like one of those nights where the fans are determined to play their part.
They're going to be needed, Gordon. You know, it can be the old, you know, cliche 12 man, etc. But there is a lot to be said for it. If they get behind the team in the right manner, they might need to be patient. It might be a nervy kind of night, so they need to stay with the team right through. But, you know, looking at the atmosphere, listening to Alison, the background, I know it's the final qualifier, but it sounds like a proper Champions League night tonight. Sounds terrific.
John in Broomhill is a Celtic fan. John, rate the nerve levels for me.
Well, I'm on my 25th pint.
You'll not be feeling a thing then, you should be fine.
No, honestly I'm not. No, it was just a quick question to both Mark and Chris. Mark, obviously I'd love to see Celtic qualifying, that goes without saying, and obviously the financial gain. But would I be right in saying, Mark, that it could also, if Celtic do get through, it could benefit the likes of Chris and Mercedes there, St Johnson, to the tune of 200,000 to 250,000 each club, therefore bringing in a couple of million to, you know, the Scottish game, which I think surely can only be a good thing, you know.
Yeah, it's certainly, you know, the clubs will be winners out of it. You're right, Jordan, there's a handsome six-figure sum goes to all the clubs, and for clubs like St Johnston and Motherwell, if they know that by next Tuesday night, they've got 8 days. And, you know, a couple of hundred grand, if the managers are given it, you know, that's an extra couple of players easily to come in. So, yeah, it can make a lot of difference.
No, it's just, you know, I mean, obviously, my first thoughts go with Celtic, but I think it'd be a great thing to see the clubs. And I think Chris will probably agree. I'd love to see clubs like St Johnson and that getting a couple of hundred thousand, you know, a couple of hundred to a quarter million. And I think it'd be more than welcomed by them, you know.
I suppose it works two ways, Chris Miller, because, there might be that payment that goes to clubs in the league, but it also moves Celtic 25, 30 million pounds further ahead of clubs than they already are at the moment. So it kind of works both ways, doesn't it?
Oh, definitely. You know, financially, every club, in fact, in the Scotland Division can't compete with Celtic right now financially. But for a club like ourselves, that extra money is obviously going to help with our management trying to bring in another player. And I know an area we're looking to strengthen in is as a striker. I know he's been linked with two boys that signed with Thistle recently, and obviously we missed out on them. So I think it's an area where we look to strengthen, and everything can help us. But I think for me personally, something else, no matter what club it is in Scotland they're playing Europe, I want to see them do well. I want to see them go and compete and progress, and it's something that we need to do better. You know, obviously our club went out this the first round this stage, and for us it wasn't good enough. There was excuses, you know, but it's still, we should be doing better, and every club in Scotland, I want to see them do well, and hopefully Celtic do tonight.
John, what's your thoughts ahead of this game then? You've heard the team lineup, no doubt. We're just inside the opening minute. Well, Celtic, as you would expect, just enjoying
the position.
Yeah,
I mean, like everyone else, butterflies all over the place. If I was to make a forecast, I would love 2-0. You know, but as Mark said, and I totally agree, 1-0 wouldn't be a disaster. Even 0-0 wouldn't be a disaster, but I think if they've, you know, put the ball in the back of the net, you know, it's going to be a whole different ball game. But here's hoping. I mean, my forecast would be 2-0, one each half, you know. So, but anyway, I just say, like I say, thanks for clarifying that, Mark. I wasn't sure. I remember last season, you know, reading about it, and I was just wondering if it was still applicable this season. Yep. So thanks for clarifying that.
No problem, John.
There we are, John. You take care. Have a good night.
Cheers, bye.
Good man, that was John in Broomhill. Still time to squeeze in a call or two if you want to have your say. 0141 951 1025. So you've got your pen in there. That
I've
means
got
what?
Some more names.
Oh,
Chris,
do you? Okay, just a reminder then.
There is one that...
Okay, I'll remind the listeners at home first of the question. So Martin Burns has sent this one in, but you're taking issue with him because he wants 11 players who've scored 4 or more goals in a top flight game in Scotland from the season 97-98 onwards. You've come up with a 12th. Fair play to you. Who's the 12th man?
Liam Boyce.
He is Liam Boyce. Well done. He got that against, in fact it was the Highland Derby, wasn't it, against Inverness Cali Thistle towards the tail end of last season.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, I'm sure he did. I'll give you Liam Boyce.
So we've got 12 so far. Well, 12 to get.
So far you've given me
Negri,
Boyd, yep.
Larson, Boyd and Moles is 4. Mm-hmm. So Chris has come up with Kenny Miller and Harold Brattback.
Kenny Miller got 4 for Rangers in a 7-1 win against St Mirren. I'm sure you remember that. Harold Brattback got 4 in a 4-0 win against Kilmarnock. So yeah,
I've got Gary Hooper and John Hartson.
Oh, Gary Hooper, indeed he did. 4 against Hearts in a 5-0 win. And who was the other one there?
John Hartson.
John Hartson in a 7-0 win against Aberdeen back in 2002.
So
it sounds as if they're absolute experts, but what you don't know is they gave me loads of wrong answers in the break. Now they're only giving me the ones that they think might be right. Funny how you've managed to figure that one out.
We've got 9, we've got 3 to get. Two non-Old Firm and 1.
Now I'll tell you what, that was a huge chance for Scott Sinclair inside the third minute. A ball into the box, it fell kindly for him. It was on his left foot as well, Chris Miller, and he just sliced it, didn't he? And it went ever so slightly wide of the
post. Back to goal, just react to it first time, just hooked it right at the post. But obviously good start, you know, just a set piece, good ball in from Griffiths, and on that second ball knockdown. So nearly took the lead there. Encouraging signs for Celtic.
Celtic with a bit of defending to do at the moment. Stephen's a Celtic fan in Pollock. Stephen, what's on your mind?
All right, it was just to say, all right, guys, how you doing?
Yes, good, thanks.
No, it was just to say that some people are kind of about saying, last season we got lucky with the ref and stuff like that, but it was 2 clear penalties at the end of the day, and people saying refs this, refs that, but see, at the end of the day, we pressed them for the whole second half for the last season game against Astana. We pressed them for the whole second half, and we pushed them to make those fouls, and we deserved to win the game at the end of the day. That's what I'm really saying.
Yeah, I remember that the question from the visiting media yesterday, Mark Guidi, whether it was lost in translation or not. Someone asked Brendan Rodgers, "Are you relying on the support of the referee this time?" Yeah. Celtic, of course, winning it with those two penalties. But listen, Brendan Rodgers and Celtic fans like Stephen, they won't be giving a monkey's how they do the business tonight.
No, I know.
They don't.
I know, definitely, mate. Well, if you want to go with that, then you can just go with the facts about the unbeaten season, and we won't be relying on any refs this season. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, Stephen, and surely there's a lot to be said. I mean, listen, it's going to be a challenge tonight, but surely there's a lot to be said for the fact that this team is now, it's now a year down the line under Brendan Rodgers compared to what it was back then.
Aye, definitely, mate. Ronnie Dyler, Brendan Rodgers, it's day and night. Do you know what I mean? Brendan Rodgers is a lot more experienced manager. He knows what he's doing. He's done well with Liverpool, and he's come up to Scotland, and he's outstanding. It's phenomenal.
No, Stephen, I totally agree. It doesn't matter how Celtic progress tonight, whether it be a decision from the ref and an own goal, a cross that comes in, deflects off a defender. All that counts is that Celtic progress. That's the most important thing.
Aye, definitely.
Tom Rogic just wiped out on the halfway line. I wonder, there we are. We're going to see our first yellow card of the evening. Alison brought us the stats. She told us that the referee was card happy. But I suppose that's a fairly easy decision. Mark Guidi, Tom Rogic pulled back on the halfway line.
Yeah, it was straightforward. Tom Rogic just managed to nick the ball, and the Astana player, Pozistikis, has taken him out. So yeah, it was an easy decision. So if he was just in the early play, as much as Scott Sinclair says, that golden chance, Gordon, Astana not letting Celtic build from the back. They're pressing five guys into the Celtic half when Celtic have possession. So when that happens, you know, your two wide guys are absolutely vital to get the ball to them and to get to the fullbacks, because the middle of the park's congested.
And there was a lot of question marks over near Beaton going into this game. He gives that one away on the halfway line. That allows Astana to come forward. I think they're going to be saved by the offside flag this time. Stephen, are you feeling confident ahead of this game? Well, I suppose we're into the game now.
Aye, very confident. No meaning to be dead big-headed or anything, but the way Celtic have been playing with the start of this season, through pre-season and the whole of last season, I don't think they're going to want to drop that form. I think they're going to just stay at top level and keep going at top level and just to keep playing the best they can.
Certainly looks like it. Thanks to Stephen and Pollock for his call. 7 minutes gone at Celtic Park. It is still Celtic 0, Astana 0, as you would expect. Celtic with a lot of the ball, but, Mark, as you mentioned, Astana not really sitting back perhaps the way some people expected. I mean, they are looking disciplined enough behind the ball. Lee Griffiths goes up, and what a chance that is, Mark Guidi. A Lee Griffiths header, he usually buries those.
Oh, he usually does. That was a great chance there, Gordon. Lovely ball from James Forrest. I say that the white guys are going to be so crucial tonight. He's just picked Griffiths out. Delicious ball into the box, and Griffiths, oh, he's attacked it well, but he should be hitting the target. He's just put it a yard wide of the goalkeeper's left hand post.
James Forrest is often criticised for his final product, Chris Miller, but that was an unbelievable ball. Brendan Rodgers thought it was in the back of the net, and I bet you most of the fans inside Celtic Park thought it was as well.
Definitely. I think Forrest is a player that seems to be, you either love him or hate him if you're a Celtic fan. He's got a great asset, pace, and I think if he had, it was more consistent with his final ball, final delivery, his final end product is finishing, then, you know, there'd be a lot more clubs interested in him. But I think the last game, Rosenborg just showed you his value. He made a great run, created a great, not even a great touch, a poor touch, but his finish was unbelievable. And if he can produce stuff like that on a more regular basis, he's a massive asset for Celtic.
Right, how are we getting on with this full time teaser then? Because we are moving towards the end of tonight's show. Remember, this is Martin Burns' teaser. We're looking for 11, well, it's now changed to 12 players who've scored 4 or more goals in a top flight league game in Scotland from season 97-98 onwards. We've already got Boyd, Brattback, Hartson, Hooper, Larson, Miller, Moles and Negri. By my account, we're looking for 3 more. You've got Boyce as well, sorry, so 3 more.
Louis Mill?
Nope. Did he against Hamilton Accies? See if Martin Burns has got a second one wrong, I'm going to be raging with him. Let me look that one up anymore at the moment.
It might be Chris Sutton.
Nope.
3 to get, Chris. Possibly 4. 3 to get.
So is it all Toilet. Old Firm players?
There 2 aren't.
2 aren't. Mm. Narrow it down. Edinburgh, Dundee.
Yep, we've got Aberdeen. 1 Edinburgh. One was in an Edinburgh derby.
Gary O'Connor. Derek Radden.
Nope.
Osmond So.
Nope.
Mark De Vries.
Yes, Mark De Vries. 5-1 against Hibs. Any more at the moment? Let's see. One, this is a Celtic player against Dunfermline, 2006.
Ooh, Jan Venegar of Hessel.
Nope, around similar either.
Zaravski
in an 8-1 win. There we are.
Any more to get? Want to get?
Martin Burns has had a nightmare in the teaser. Louis Moult did get one as well.
You're better on that. He is usually spot on.
I'm sure he'll be back with a bang. The other one we're looking for was in a Kilmarnock win against Hibs in 2003.
Christophe Cocard.
Nope. This guy also played for Hearts and Rangers in his career. So scored the goal for Kilmarnock, but also played for Hearts and Rangers.
Stephen Aismith?
No, Hearts and Rangers. But I'm going to have to give you, it's Gary McSwiggin, because time upon us. So thanks to everyone who got in touch on the phone lines. It is still Celtic 0, Astana 0. We'll have all the fallout from that game on tomorrow night's show. In the meantime, it's good night from us.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Backing Scottish football to have a cracking season. Please gamble responsibly.